Жүүч тлайх ас васиш сехэл тлэлэт хасу хаук. Did you all have a good lunch? Тлэлэт хасу хаук. Welcome back to our afternoon session. I will begin with a lecture about combining sentences, and then we will finish our day with debriefing and more practice. The main topic for today's afternoon lecture is how to combine sentences. When you have two things that you want to say, for example, you fed me and I want to thank you for it, how do you put those together? If I want to say that I have one brother and three sisters, how do I combine those into one or two or three sentences, and how do I string them together? I'll be using examples from the How's It Colloquial version of Unit 11, but I'll also be talking about some words and constructions that are not found in Unit 11. I'll be using two examples in particular from Unit 11. The first is from Conversation 3, which is gives language for thanking someone who's feeding you. The key sentence will be "Thank you for feeding me." Ha ushchakshitlitsk haukwap sichil. And most of the things I'll say about this sentence in a Hausa colloquial are also true for the other dialects. It just sounds a little different. The other main example I'll be using is a sentence from Conversation 4, which includes language between a host and a guest. The key sentence in conversation 4 will be, "I'm happy that you've come." I'll talk today about four main ways of linking sentences together. When linguists talk about this kind of thing, a common term for it is clause chaining. A clause, at its core, is a predicate, its participants that are completed by a mood ending. We studied that in, or started studying that in Unit 8 on sentences. In Unit 8, we learned what the basic structure of a Nichanal sentence is. The answer is the structure of a sentence in Nichanal is more or less the structure of a clause, which is not exactly the same thing as a sentence. The key parts of a clause are three. They are a predicate, participants, and a mood ending. The more complicated our sentences get, the more clauses we need. One clause only says so much. He eats. You gave it to me. Those are simple clauses. But what if we want to say something more complicated, like, "Thank you for giving it to me. Thank you for feeding me. I'm happy that you've come." In order to say anything complicated and interesting, we need to chain several clauses together, and there are several ways to do that. Here are three ways of chaining clauses together. One way is just to put one right after the other. For example, I have one brother, I have three sisters. Tsawa naksish hachim seksu, period. Qats tsanak sish hluchmup minha. I'll say that again. Tsawa naksish ma miksu, qats tsanaksish hluchmup minha. I have one brother, I have three sisters. There, I just put one clause right after the other. That's not very interesting, though, is it? Like, if you're a fluent speaker of a language, you really want to do something a little bit more to show, to connect those clauses together or to say how they're related. One thing that we do very frequently in English is we'll link two clauses together with a conjunction, like and, but, or. I have one brother and I have three sisters. That's a very normal sentence in English. Because most of you are coming to this class as first speakers of English, you'll want to say similar things in Nichanov. And one of the first things you have to learn in Nichanov is not to say and so much. I gave a previous lecture on words for and. As a general rule, if you're not sure whether to say and in Nichanov, don't, because it's almost certainly not necessary. And the danger is rather that you'll say it too much. But sometimes it is very important to say and. If I am giving you a long self-introduction about myself, I will want to link together some of my clauses somehow. One of the ways to link clauses together is with the conjunction tla. Tla is an ending, and the rule for where tla goes is that it goes on the first word of the second thing that's being joined. In my example, I have one brother and three sisters. The second thing is I have three sisters. The first word of that is katsanaksish, I have three, and the ending tla can go on the end of that word. So here's one way to link those two clauses together. Tsawa naksish ma mirksu. Katsanaksish tla hluch mup. That's a nice fluent sounding clause chaining construction in Nunchaknoth. I've just joined my two clauses by putting the ending tla on what linguists call the second conjunct. However, using tla is a challenge for beginners. It's difficult for people whose first language is English because we can use the conjunction and to join any two things together. We can use it to join people, things, verbs, phrases, and even sentences together. Nunchaknoth words for and, as I said in my previous lecture, are much more restricted. The typical word that we use for and, oh ish, also pronounced oh ish or ish, is typically used to join people and things together and nothing else. You don't use it to join phrases and clauses together. Another option is ah-a-at. Ah-a-at can be used in more situations. Ah-a-at can be used to join some clauses together, especially when you're narrating a sequence of events. I got up, then I ate breakfast. Tik pitlitsish, I got up. Ah-a-at-sish ha-ukshit. Then I started eating. Tik pitlitsish. Ah-a-at-sish ha-ukshit. That's an example where I might join two clauses together with ah-a-at. Notice that when I use ah-a-at to join those two clauses together, ah-a-at becomes the first word of the second conjunct, and it takes the mood endings. Some of you are using ah-a-at more than oh-ish, which is a good thing, but you are using some of you, but you are tending to use ah-a-at the same way you would use English and that is not a good thing. You ah-a-at is used in more situations than other conjunctions, but there's still the danger of overusing it. Also, if ah-a-at can take mood endings, then it should. The mood end if I say I got up and then I ate breakfast, the mood endings should usually go on ah-a-at, not on ha-ukshit. So without ah-a-at, the simpler clause chaining would be tik pitlitsish, period, ha-ukshitsish, period. I got up, I started eating. But if I put ah-a-at in there, then I would say tik pitlitsish, period, ah-a-at-sish, ha-ukshit. And then I started eating. So you see the endings will go on ahat in that case. So far, Josh has just pointed out that ahat and tla can be used together, and that's quite right. It's not at all unusual to hear ahat tla, which means something like and then or and also. So far, we've talked about two ways of joining together two clauses. One is simply to put one next to the other. The second way is to use a conjunction like ahat or tla. As we've both seen, though, neither of these conjunctions is as simple as the English conjunction and. You have to know some things about where the endings go in order to use them properly. Another way to chain two clauses together is with mood. As we've seen, Nunchaknoth is very rich in moods. For simple statements, we've learned that we use the real mood in Barkly Sound dialects and the strong mood in other dialects for simple statements. However, when we chain several simple statements together, it's typical in Nunchaknoth to start in the real or strong mood and then default to another mood. In some dialects, the default mood is neutral mood. In others, it's a combination of the neutral and weak moods. Because this will also get a bit complicated, which is why we don't teach beginners this, but we're getting to the stage where you will have opportunities to chain clauses together, and you will start to see and hear examples of people doing this with mood. So I want to make sure that you are aware that this can be done, but it will take much longer to get used to it and learn how to do it yourself. Let me use my example about brothers and sisters again. If when I'm saying I have one brother and three sisters, the best way out of the three ways of joining them together, the best way that we've looked at so far is with tla, and my that example was tawanaksish ma miksu period, katsanaksish tla luchmup minha. I have one brother and I have three sisters. Notice that I used a strong mood in both clauses. Tawanaksish ma miksu, katsanaksish tla luchmup minha. A better or more fluent way to chain those clauses together would be to start with the strong mood, but then use neutral mood in the second clause. And that sounds like this. Tsawanaksish ma miksu, period. Katsanaksatla luchmup minha, period. In the first sentence, I use the strong ending sish. Tsawanaksish ma miksu. In the second clause, I used the neutral ending sa, katsanaksatla, hluchmup minha. The effect of that mood switch is to say, when I switch to neutral mood in the second clause, that's telling the people listening to me, this is a continuation of what I was saying before. This is all in one paragraph. These aren't two isolated sentences. Rather, the second sentence is continuing from the first. So a mood switch, like the one I just gave you an example of, is yet another way to chain two clauses together. The fourth way of chaining clauses that we'll talk about today is with the glue word in or ani. This is a very short word that we discussed a little bit this morning. In Barkly Sound dialects, it has the form ani, glottal stop A-N-I. In Central and Northern dialects, it has the form in, glottal stop I-N. An example of this is in the sentence from conversation four, Kluya chi atsishlit maxti in tlawa isuk. I'm happy that you've come. Kluya chi atsishlit maxti in tlawa isuk. This in corresponds more or less to the English word that in the translation. I'm happy that you've come. In both languages, the glue word in or that is serving to join two clauses together. Two things are happening here. You've come, and I'm happy. Also, there's a relationship between the two. Your coming is the reason why I'm happy. And in accomplishes two purposes here. It allows us to join two clauses into one big clause, and it also implies this causal connection that the reason I'm happy is that you've come. In fact, in is sometimes used explicitly to mean because. So be aware that the generic Nunchaknoth glue word ani or in can be translated in several different ways in English. It can be translated as that, sometimes as because, sometimes it can even be translated as and. Sometimes ani or in simply serves to join together two clauses that the speaker wants to be one big clause rather than two separate sentences. Thank you, Sila. Sila just pointed out that in the Barkly Sound version of the sentence, I'm happy that you've come, ani has a K after it. Kluya chi anik. What is that K on the end of ani? That K is agreeing with you. So ani in Barkly Sound has the additional complication that it agrees with the subject of the clause. You don't in Central and Northern dialects. Central and Northern dialects used to do this in some very old-fashioned speech. You sometimes still hear it in the Central and Northern dialects, but for the most part, they've completely lost it. Speakers born after 1940 or so almost never use it. But in Barkly Sound, you still have to worry about it. In Barkly Sound dialects, ani actually has five forms, depending on who the subject of the clause is. If the subject is he, she, it, or they, it's just ani. There's no agreement on it. But if the subject is I, then the ending is s, anis, Anis means that I, Anis. If the subject is you, the form is Anik, that you, Anik. That we is Anin, Anin. And that you all is Anisu. Glottal stop, A-N-I-S, long U, Anisu. So there are just four person agreement endings that can go on Ani in Barkley Sound. Those forms again are Ani, Anis, Anik, Anin, Anisu. You do not need to remember and have this mastered yet, but maybe in the next few weeks I will expect you to have mastered it. No, you cannot add other endings to Ani. Ani is very restricted in the endings it takes. It only takes these person agreement endings. It also takes the hearsay particle that's just a C wedge. You might have heard anich or inch, especially in Carrie's text. Carrie sometimes says inch. That's the hearsay particle, which can also go on the end of Ani, and that is used when the clause introduced by Ani is hearsay. I'm going to look a little more carefully. Since we've already started to get into it, let's go all the way with I'm happy that you've come and analyze this entire sentence. It's a significantly complicated sentence, one of the most complicated you've seen so far in your conversations. If we take all the endings off these words, we're left with four words. Ani, Tlawichit. Can someone define some or all of these for me? Tlawichit, Tlitmaksti, Ani, Tlawichit. Yeah, Tlawichit is the complete form of whatever Tlul is. Tlul is a continuous aspect word meaning good or beautiful. Tlawichit is the complete aspect form, which means to become good or become beautiful. The expression, the combination Tlul plus tlitmaksti, literally good spirit, is one way to say happy in Nuchanov. What we're saying here literally is my spirit has become happy. Let's finish looking at the endings on the first word. Tluyachi atah. Tluyachi atah. After the stem tluyachit, there are two more endings, at and mah. Mah, you've seen before. That's the same as the ending in chachimhe mah. I am okay. It's the real mood ending for I. Ut, most of you have seen before. Some of you are not familiar with yet. Ut is the passive ending. The passive ending has several uses in Nuchanov. Its canonical use is to change the direction of a word. So ha'ukwap means to feed someone. Ha'ukwapat, if I add the passive ending ut on the end of that, Ha'okwapat means to be fed. So, ha'okwapeits si'ya, you are feeding me. Ha'okwapatah, I am being fed. Those two sentences describe the same situation, but from different points of view. Ha'okwapeits si'ya has you as the most important participant in the sentence. Ha'ukwapatah, I am being fed, has I as the most important person in the sentence. If you don't understand that yet, don't worry about it. You don't have to. Because the passive has other uses as well. It has at least three or four uses. Here we're seeing the use for which is possession of body parts. We've already seen many examples of the possessive ending uk, as in ahokwah om iqsu beth, my mother is Beth. Another ending that is used for possession is ut. It is used in exactly the same way as uk, except that ut is used for body parts, and a spirit is considered a body part. That's what ut is doing here. This is a possessor-raising construction where ut indicates that the subject of the clause, which is I, is the possessor of hlitmaksti, meaning spirit. That's the shortest way I can explain what this construction is doing. It takes, like many things, it takes a long time to understand this, but the best way to start is to memorize this sentence because you will have many opportunities to use it. Kliyachi attahli maqsti anek tlawich tsuk. You'll have many opportunities to use this sentence. You might as well memorize it. Eventually, you will have enough other examples of the passive to start to get a better understanding of how it's used. Now let's look at the embedded clause. This sentence has two clauses. They are I'm happy and you've come. One of these clauses is embedded inside the other one. We'll say that tliyachi atahlit maqsti, I'm happy, is the main clause, and you have come is the embedded clause. Main and embedded clauses differ in several ways. They differ in that the embedded clause tends to be introduced by ani or in. That is ani or in's main purpose, to introduce embedded clauses. Another important way that main and embedded clauses differ is in mood. Moods in New Chonolth typically are used only in main clauses or only in embedded clauses. Real and strong moods are used only in main clauses. They are never used in clauses that are embedded inside others. The neutral and weak moods can be used in both main clauses and embedded clauses. An example of a mood that is only embedded is the article mood. We've already seen the article mood ending I, as in Nāt sama chakup I chims, the man sees a bear. Nāt sama chakup I chims. That I on chakup I is the article mood. It only marks embedded clauses. In terms of New Chonolth grammar, chakup I is an embedded clause. It means the man. Let's take a look at the embedded clause in sentence 4a. Kliyachi atahlit maqsti anik. The embedded part is just the last two words. Anik tlawichitsuk, which means something like that you have come close. The glue word ani, as we've seen in Barkly Sound dialects, has to agree with the subject of the clause. In this clause, the subject is you, so the form is anik. In addition, the typical mood that is used in an embedded clause like this in Barkly Sound dialect is the neutral mood. The U ending of the neutral mood is suk in Barkly Sound. Suk. The ending mah on the main clause, kliyachi atahlit maqsti, shows us that the main clause is about I and that it's the main clause. We would only use the real mood in a main clause. The suk in the embedded clause tells us that the subject of that clause is you, and that the clause is embedded inside another clause. The neutral mood is a signal that this is an embedded clause. Excuse me. Let's compare this Barkly Sound sentence to the corresponding central sentence. In How's It Cloquet, we would say Tliyachi atzish in tlawa isuk. Tliyachi atzish in tlawa isuk. It sounds a little different, but the structure is exactly the same. In the How's It Cloquet embedded clause, we use the ending suk, which is the U form of the neutral mood. The glue word in a How's It Cloquet is just in. In a How's It Cloquet, the glue word in does not agree with anything. It's always in. In modern central dialects, that is. I've just used the example of the sentence, I'm happy that you've come, to explain the structure of an embedded clause. This is embedding one clause inside another is one of several ways of chaining two clauses together in order to say something complicated and interesting. Are there any questions so far on embedded clauses? We had a clarification question about the sequence which contains the passive ending ut. The question was, is this a passive sentence? Is it a passive clause or is it a possessive clause? The answer is it's a possessive clause specifically. The ending ut has several uses, including in passive clauses and possessive clauses. You have to tell from context which it is. Yeah, you're noticing that the possessive ending ut is on the predicate rather than on the participant, tlitmaxti. That's why we call it possessor raising. From a logical point of view, or definitely from an English point of view, we're used to seeing possession marked on the closer to the thing, but Nuchanoth really likes to possessor raise, which is a construction where possession is indicated on the predicate rather than on a participant. Your practice this afternoon is going to be to practice making different thank yous. You're going to thank your partner for various things, for example, for coming, for giving, for feeding, for cooking. And for some of these sentences, there will be only one way that you know how to make the sentence. For others, there will be more than one way to do it. So this will help you explore different ways of making complex clauses. Before we get to the practice portion, I'm going to compare sentence 4A, I'm happy that you've come, to sentence 3B, thank you for feeding me. And this will help us compare the two main structures that we can use to make complex thank yous. We're looking at the Ahauzit Cloquet version of Unit 11. Let's compare the sentence we've been talking about. I'm happy that you've come. Kluya chi atse shlitmaxti in tlawa isuk. We're going to compare that to sentence 3b. Thank you for feeding me. Ush chakshitlitsk haukwap sichil. Notice that in 3b, we also have two basic clauses that we want to combine. Those clauses are you've been useful, and which is used to mean thank you, and you have fed me. These are two things that we want to join together. This shows one way of doing it. With these two particular predicates, ushchakshit, to be useful, and haukwap, to feed, we can just put them right next to each other and make one complex predicate. The definition of a complex predicate is a predicate that consists of two or more words. When we were learning very simple sentences, we only used one word predicates. Now we're going to start using some complex predicates, which consist of two or more words. Nuchanoth is quite flexible in how it makes complex predicates. There are lots of words, usually verbs, and adverbs, that you can just squish together and make turn into a complex predicate. And that's what we've done in this sentence. Thank you for feeding me. Literally, what we're saying is, you've been useful feeding me. You've been useful feeding me. Be useful and feeding are forming a complex predicate. And there's no glue here. No, there's no glue to join them together. We're just saying them one after the other. There's a special term for this kind of combination. It is serial verbs. We say that ushchakshit and haukwap are a serial verb construction. The definition of a serial verb construction, that's serial like serial killer, the definition of a serial verb construction is that it consists of two verbs said one right after the other with nothing gluing them together. They're just said one after the other. English does not do this. Well, I guess there are a few cases in English where we serial verbs are acceptable. For example, let's go see it is an example of a serial verb in English. We can mash go and see together like that. But there are very few verbs in English that works for. In Nuchanoth, we can do that with many more verbs. Compare that to 4A. I'm happy that you've come. Here it's impossible to use a serial verb construction because we're dealing with two different subjects. The subject of I'm happy is I. The subject of you've come is you. That makes these incompatible as a serial verb. Instead, I have to join these two clauses together with in or any. But in 3B, you've done something useful and you are feeding. Therefore, these verbs can be smashed together into a serial verb construction. However, we don't have to use a serial verb construction in 3B. That's just the shortest way to say it. We can also use an embedding construction. With an embedded construction, it sounds like this. Ushchakshitlitsk in haokwapsuk sichil. Hear that? What have I added? Ushchakshitlitsk in Haukwapsuk Siichich. I've just turned the serial verb construction into an embedded construction. What did I add to turn it into an embedded construction? When I turned this serial verb construction into an embedding construction, I added two things. I added the glue word in, and now that we have two clauses, every clause has to have mood. So I needed a mood ending for Ha'ukwap. The best mood to use here is the neutral mood, for which the U ending is suk. So with some thank yous, like I'm happy that you've come, you will have to use an embedded construction with ani or in. With other thank yous, you have a choice. So, depending on the words you use, you might be able to say it with a simple, short serial verb construction. But the embedded construction is almost always an option. That is the end of today's lecture on clause chaining. I compared two important examples from Unit 11, specifically, thank you for feeding me, and I'm happy that you've come. I used that to explain the distinction between a serial verb construction and an embedded construction. I also talked about several ways of chaining clauses. One is with a glue word like in or ani. Another is with a conjunction like ah-ah-at or tla. And a third way is by a mood switch. We will continue talking about all these topics in the days and weeks to come. Jooch!